Ryan Reynolds here from Mint Mobile.
With the price of just about everything going up during inflation, we thought we'd bring our prices down. So to help us, we brought in a reverse auctioneer, which is apparently a thing.
Mint Mobile Unlimited Premium Wireless. I bet you get 30, 30, I bet you get 30, I bet you get 20, 20, 20, I bet you get 20, 20, I bet you get 15, 15, 15, 15, just $15 a month, sold.
Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month. Slows full terms at mintmobile.com.
Hi, I'm Daniel, founder of Pretty Litter. Did you know cats tend to hide symptoms of sickness and pain? I learned this the hard way after losing my cat, Gingy. So I created Pretty Litter, a health monitoring litter that helps detect early signs of illness by changing colors, saving you money and potentially your cat's life. Pretty Litter is veterinarian developed, and it's the easiest way to keep tabs on your fur baby's health right at home.
Go to prettylitter.com and use code ACAST for 20% off your first order and a free cat toy. Terms and conditions apply. See site for details.
Millions of people have lost weight with personalized plans from Noom, like Evan, who can't stand salads and still lost 50 pounds.
Salads generally for most people are the easy button, right? For me, that wasn't an option. I never really was a salad guy. That's just not who I am. But Noom worked for me.
Get your personalized plan today at Noom.com. Real Noom user compensated to provide their story. In 4 weeks, the typical Noom user can expect to lose 1 to 2 pounds per week. Individual results may vary.
It's the Rumble Rock Podcast, starring Dave Schilling, Rich Paul, Aaron Goodwin, Joey Devine, Mark Bartlestein, Aaron Mintz, Sean King, Darren Matz Matsubara, Italia Riley Irving, Patreons, Jeff Song, thank you Jeff, Kevin Farragut, thank you Kevin, Maxwell Cardon, thank you Maxwell, musical guest, Agent Orange, and now, the temporary host of Rumble Rock, Joey Devine.
Hi, it's me, Joey Devine, your temporary host of the Roundball Rock podcast, and we are back with a jam-packed brand new episode. I'm here, as always, with my friend and yours, America's Uncle Dad, Sean Keane. Sean, how are you?
I'm good. I'm recording from the Big Apple itself. Start spreading the news.
Okay. All right. Okay.
New York, hey, I'm podcasting here, right?
Some business off the top at Round Rock Pod is our Twitter. Join it before Elon Musk makes us move to Mastodon. Just kidding. We are never moving to Mastodon. I'm going down with the fucking ship because I refuse to join another social media service.
No.
RoundRockPod@gmail.com is where you can send us emails. Call us on the phone in the description of the episode. And, t-shirts, buy those in the description of the episode, and call us on the phone. I did that part. Sorry.
People can call the Google Voice now. We love it.
Sean, the reason go ahead. No, you go ahead.
I just sent a listener called in and warned me about my extended car warranty expiring. Shout out to that listener.
Oh, good great. We've got a jam-packed episode. Sean and I actually pre-recorded two interviews. Let's start with the topical one. Look, we had NFL super agent Lee Steinberg on to ask him about what you do when you're an agent and your client maybe refuses to apologize for a tweet for 2 weeks. Among other things, here's Sean and I talking to Super Agent Lee Steinberg. We're here with Super Agent Lee Steinberg, who you might know as being A, the inspiration for Jerry Maguire, or doing millions and millions of dollars in deals with tons of clients, or public speaking, or I don't know, Arliss, his book, a billion things, Jerry Maguire. But my first question for you, Lee, as the inspiration for Jerry Maguire, I wanted to ask you, did you know that the human head weighs 8 pounds?
You know, what's funny is that my son, Matt, when Cameron Crowe was following me around, was like a dead ringer for Jonathan Lipnicki, the young actor who played that and had a habit of asking off the wall questions like that.
Have you seen what Jonathan Lipnicki grew up to look like, Lee? He's very muscular.
He's like a weightlifter,
MMA fighter. Yeah. I think, or something.
Well, you know, I think about it. It's a 25-year anniversary of the film, so he's got to be in his 30s.
Yeah. But the real reason we wanted to have you on, Lee, is you obviously have been an agent for, I don't know, 40 years, probably more.
48 years.
You started in 75?
Yes.
Oh, wow. Okay. Yeah.
So I don't know if you've been paying attention to what's been going on in Brooklyn with the NBA, but one of their players, we don't even have to get into detail about why he's in trouble or what he did. But my main question I wanted to ask you first off the top is, as an agent, what do you do when your client is in a scandal, like is embroiled in a scandal?
So that's damage control. And the first thing you do is wrap your arms around all the facts so that whatever you are about to say is not contradicted later by some fact. The second thing you do is realize whatever the guilt or liability is for your client. And then what you'd like to do is very quickly come out with an apology that recognizes whatever the responsibility is. And it's an apology to the organization, the other players, the fans, and it states the proper standard of behavior. So if someone's arrested for drunk driving, it's an acknowledgement you shouldn't get behind the wheel with any amount of alcohol. If it's a fight, an acknowledgement for that. And then importantly, an offer to do something that shows there won't be a recurrence. So if it's drunk driving, it's I'm going to AA. If it's violence of some sort, I'm going to anger management. If it's domestic violence, I'm going to sensitivity training. It's something to show it's not just a hollow apology, but you're actually taking action. If you don't get out there quickly, then what happens is the social media and the repetitive nature of it will keep going on and on and on about that and repeat it. And so at a certain point, people won't think it was one bad incident. They'll generalize that that's who this person is forever. So you got to get out front. The worst thing to do.
So you're saying refusing to apologize for 2 weeks and then having multiple press conferences where you refuse to apologize is bad?
The worst. That's the worst.
Yeah.
Because they make the association of whatever it is with you. The worst I ever saw was Michael Vick with dogfighting. And so, and at one point, person came out representing him and said, here is Michael Vick's statement. And he said, my client is so unhappy that he won't be able to attend spring training. And he went on, well, there's no football player in the face of the earth who ever called training camp spring training. Yeah. So you know he didn't write that statement. Yeah. But the longer you allow the thing to linger, then you've got Kyrie Irving, anti-Semite, Kyrie Irving, anti-Semite, and it goes over and over and over again. And so it becomes inextricably intertwined in the public over and over and over again, and that stain is hard to remove.
So at a certain point as an agent, do you yell at your client in this sort of situation? How do you handle that part of it, like the behind the scenes?
So you would sit down with your client when you very first sign them and say you recognize that you're in a profession that relies on public approval because this is not butter on the table or a car to go to work. This is a discretionary entertainment expenditure. So you're dependent on the goodwill of fans to watch on television, go to games, buy memorabilia, you know, join fantasy leagues, do all these things. And you're held to higher standards. So if you don't want to graciously sign autographs and give interviews and conduct yourself at a higher standard of behavior off the court or off the field, fine, go play on a sandlot. No one will have any expectations. You won't get, you know, paid, but this is your responsibility. So they've got to get this going in that they can't say, well, my play on the court is all that matters. Oh, really? Well, you know, then the fan can say, I've got lots of entertainment options. You know, I can go to Disney World or watch Netflix or choose another sport. So they've got to accept that going in.
Yeah. So Adam Silver, the commissioner, said he wants to have a one-on-one meeting with Kyrie Irving now. So in that situation, Kyrie's in a bit of a unique position because his agent is also his stepmother. Mm-hmm. But normally, does the agent come along to a meeting like that?
Yes. And so what you do is you have to send somebody like that to some form of sensitivity training where he understands the consequence of that. It's only been 75 years since 6 million Jews were killed in the Holocaust. Yeah. So it happens to be a big issue. And
I would say that's a pretty big issue.
All right. And the point is that just because you're a member of a minority racial group doesn't mean you can't be a racist. Yeah. And mm-hmm. So the point is, he's just not getting it. So he's got to go somewhere, take him to a Holocaust museum, take him somewhere where he finally gets the issue. So whether you're Kanye West or you're that person, you're just not getting it. And the irony here is athletes can be such powerful role models for anti-racism, for good, you know, mm-hmm. for standing up and being role models for tolerance and the rest of it. And here you got someone doing it. Ironically, it wouldn't matter, but he happens to be doing it in a city that's got the largest Jewish population in the world.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. So on to another guy in Brooklyn. This summer, Kevin Durant made a them or me demand this summer with the Nets coach and the GM. How does a trade demand work as an agent? And is there a difference between a public and a private one?
There certainly is. And the best way to get traded is to not say a word publicly. Because the minute that you tell the world that you're a disaffected player, it puts the incumbent team into rough situation because everybody in the league knows that they have damaged goods. And so make offers which are not quite as good. And it makes it hard for the incumbent team to get value to in trading the player. So the best way to do it is quietly behind the scenes and then allow everyone to operate. So I would always tell a player, say nothing, just act normally, and then let people see if they can do the work. The minute that you go public and make a big fuss over it, then all of a sudden you're putting your current team into a position where they're really hard pressed to get anything of value for you.
Does an agent ever try to facilitate the trade? Like, are you, is an agent ever calling a GM and trying to work out what the components of a trade might be?
Yes. So in certain situations, you go back and forth between two teams trying to do it easier. There are situations in which teams are much rougher with each other than right. You can be as an agent facilitating. And I've worked out trades behind the scenes, and my role is private. And at the end of it, nobody ever knows that that's how it happened. It looks like a trade on the surface. But yeah, again, I would never acknowledge that role. It just right. looked seamless on the surface.
How I does sometimes that wonder, initial?
Oh, go ahead. Oh, sorry. I just sometimes I wonder if there's ever a trade where there's a hidden gem that a GM gets credit for, and it's actually an agent who found that left-handed double-A pitcher to send him along.
Absolutely. So look, here's the premise. You can either have power in a sports situation, or you can brag about having power, and you really can't do both.
How does the initial call usually go? Like, when you have to call that GM and say your guy wants a trade, how much do they yell at you is really my question.
Usually that won't be the first call. Usually there's a previous discussion in which you've been able to flag that something's not working out. And well before that, you've tried to play a role of peacemaker in flagging the fact that your player's unhappy because he doesn't get along with the coach, the playing time, the role, something. So you're trying to make it work where he is and not have that happen. So you're trying to do all sorts of peacemaking before that ever happens. So you're trying to have him work it out where it is because it's easier, and players become unhappy all the time. Yeah. And so the point is, Jerry West was a great example of an executive who used to understand that players get unhappy and then go intercede. So the right executive can go to players, talk to them about their bitches. I mean, if every player who ever thought about being traded was traded, you'd have musical chairs all throughout the sport. Right? You'd like, it's just like if every player who ever told you in the month after the season ended that they wanted to retire, you'd have no rosters.
One thing that's been happening with the NBA recently is they're being very public about clamping down on tampering, and they just took a couple draft picks away from the Sixers. The Nuggets lost a pick, but at the same time, every time the league year opens, there's 15 contracts that get announced right when the official deadline.
Yeah.
So. I was just wondering how much of a murky area is tampering rather than just, you know, making sure your just client gets to the place agent. He wants to
yeah.
go. Yeah, like being an advocate, because it seems like tampering is absolutely in the interest of the agent and the client for the most part.
And the teams, frankly. And
actually the team, yeah, yeah.
So really, if you have a player who's about to become a free agent, the more lead time and planning that goes into anticipating that event, what teams might be likely, how likely it is you'll stay with the incumbent team, and then what the environment might look like and which teams might be right, the more advanced planning that you can have, the better. And that involves talking to other teams. And it's very hard to regulate those discussions. And so I would like to have as much time and as many options as possible. And you're right, it is a very murky area. And what they went to in the NFL, because they had the same situation, is they allowed discussions to begin early, but you couldn't sign the contract. So mm-hmm. they just realized that those discussions were going to take place, and they legitimized them and just gave you a few days to do it, and they ought to do that in the NBA.
Another question I wanted to ask you. So you were talking about earlier kind of working behind the scenes, and it feels like with the NBA, agencies have gotten much less behind the scenes. Like every time Adrian Wojnarowski announces a contract now, the agent is tagged, the agent's Twitter is tagged in it. It feels like possibly the CAA runs the Knicks very specifically, and that the Lakers are run by Clutch, Rich Paul's agency, kind of shadowed. They're shadow GMs almost. How do you feel about sort of the spotlight being thrust more on agents than previously?
Well, it really is about the competition between different press outlets to break news quickly. And so it's always been true that different websites and different reporters have primary relationships with different agents and agencies. And so the pressure is to get the contract signing first and to beat everybody else. So, and that's pretty much always been true. And, but if you have the key player on teams, I mean, I've represented a number of basketball players, but in football, there was a time where, you know, I had half the starting quarterbacks. And yeah. So so the point is there was always pressure that way. Sometimes too much pressure. I remember there was a time years ago in football where I had Troy Aikman, and there was a story in Fort Worth Star-Telegram that we were close to getting a contract done. So the writer for the other paper, Dallas Morning News, calls me up and is infuriated because I told that story to one paper and not to him. And I said, the story's false. We're not anywhere close to it. He says, yeah, but they had it. They had the scoop. I said, did you hear me? The story is totally untrue. We're not close. It will be weeks before we get this together. He said, yeah, but they had a story. I said, it's not true. Yeah, but they had the story. Okay.
The scoop is a scoop.
Well, if we're going to talk about that, I'd also like to ask you a little bit about, it seems like with the NBA, there's sort of, with reporters, there's sort of a ground war going on between like three different reporters for access, and it's becoming more and more transparent in that the pieces have gotten fluffier, the journalism side of it is a little less hard. And it's all because they need to tweet first that, I don't know, Dwayne Wade is retiring or whatever. Have you noticed a shift in that at all?
Absolutely. It's about who can break what story first. And your source can be a general manager, a coach, or an agent, so that curing those sources is really important. And there was a day in sports where franchises used to have the writer fly on their plane. You know, they would get a new television set. They would eat in the press room. agents had their own way of, you know, calling those reporters and breaking a story, you know, favorably. There were agents who would exaggerate contracts and all the rest of it. And I would always tell them, what are you doing? The contracts are available, you know, through the unions in their exact terms. Once you lose credibility, someone knows that you're not telling the truth, they'll never trust you again. Oh, no, but it sounded bigger, you know.
Yeah, that's my favorite thing about NFL contract announcements. The day after, when people realize that the guaranteed money is like 30% of what was in the headline the day before.
Yeah.
Don't do it. You know, whatever it is, but don't ever tell someone in the press something that's untrue. You know, you'll lose your credibility forever. But that, of course, that goes on. And it's the ever-present pressure. Remember the change now from a time in which you would read news in a newspaper the next morning. Now it breaks instantaneously. Mm-hmm. Because of the instantaneous nature of social media. And so the pressure's ramped up even higher to be first.
Mm-hmm. I think that's... Oh, yeah. Go ahead, Sean.
Wanted to ask like two questions about your career, too, if that's okay. Yeah. First of all, just who was the toughest owner you ever had to deal with in negotiations?
In football, it was a guy named Mike Brown from the Cincinnati Bengals. And there was sort of a difference between owners who made a fortune in the rough and tumble free enterprise system, and they were not necessarily against players making a fair amount of money. And then there were people who all they owned was that franchise, and they looked at every penny as and the dollars as absolutely unbelievable. And that was like Mike Brown. And I had the first round draft pick of that team in 1987, 1992, 1994, 1995, and 1999. And had I represented astronauts, Mike Brown would have been owned a franchise on the moon. But you know, he was very tough. Salary caps in basketball and in football eliminated the problems of rookie holdouts, because basically they max out the contract. So that in basketball with Greg Anthony and John Starks and Wayne Simeon and Austin Crozier and some other players, there just weren't any problems.
Hell yeah. Okay.
And then, was it hard to teach Jerry O'Connell how to throw a spiral?
Well, he had gone to NYU and they didn't have a football program.
Yeah.
And so, you know, we're out on the set and they're showing pro scouting day, and I'm watching him throw a spiral, and that wasn't going to work.
So, he kind of has a projectable frame, they would say, but maybe not the reps you need.
He had good size. You know, he was there, but I just think the highlight was taking Cuba Gooding Jr. with me down to the Super Bowl in Phoenix and making him pretend he was a wide receiver all week. And he hung out with Desmond Howard and Amani Toomer. And there was one time where Cameron Crowe said, "Now, I know you're putting him in character, but just remember he's an actor, not a a player and just, you know, with the alcohol and everything, just be careful. And
yes.
So anyway, it's closing hour at a bar and the athletes are like, you know, and he's up tap dancing on the bar. So I would judge he corrupted the athletes.
Sean, you have a very specific question.
I have one more question about the Super Bowl. Okay, so there's a legendary story about, I'm a 49er fan, about Steve Young threw 6 touchdown passes in the Super Bowl, then gets into a limo with you, Peter King, and Kerry Collins, and throws up on your shoes. Is that the only time a client has vomited on you in your career? I've taken care of kids and coached a lot of kids swimming, so I have been vomited on multiple times.
So Steve had been in the shadow of Joe Montana, and no matter what he did following Montana, you know, he threw an interception, Montana would never have thrown that. You know, if they didn't go to Montana would. So finally, he throws the passes, and I get down on the field. He runs up to me and hugs me and says, "The monkey's off my back. The monkey's off my back." So I'm like, finally. So I force him to do every interview on the sidelines after the game's over, and he's getting more and more dehydrated. So it's really my fault. So then, like an hour later, we're in the limo, and he said, "I don't feel very good." And I said, "Okay, we'll be back at the hotel soon." He says, "I really don't feel very good." And so Kerry Collins is just going through the draft at that point. He's an impressionable rookie, and it's like, so Steve gets we get back to the hotel, and amazing celebrations going on. And Steve goes directly up to his room with all his friends, and he's on IV, and he's laying there on the bed like it's like the last moment of his life. And everybody's surrounded, you know, until finally he got hydrated again. But yeah, that's the way you celebrate the Super Bowl.
Yeah, there's an amazing Super Bowl Disneyland commercial after that where you can tell that he and Jerry Rice are so happy. And one person has been told to say, "I'm going to Disneyland," and the other one heard "Disney World." And so they say, "We're going to Disneyland." "Disney World, Disneyland." It's a very nice moment.
And Steve tells the story that a little kid audibly says, "Who are those stupid guys next to Mickey?"
Well, Lee, thank you so much for coming on. Sean, is there anything else you want to ask him?
Oh, I just wanted to ask about, do you want to talk about the agent academy?
That's where I was going. Yeah.
Oh, yeah. Okay.
So we're holding an agent academy in Las Vegas, November 13, 14, 15. And it's for any person that wants to get a jump start on their career. We teach you how to negotiate, how to recruit clients, how to brand and market, how to set up a charitable foundation, how to do what we talked about earlier, which is damage control. And you can go to SteinbergSpeaks.com and sign up. It will change the whole way you do listening skills and how you can hone those skills. And we've done about 25 of them, and people love them.
Well, thanks right, so fantastic. Much. Is there anything else you want to plug other than the Agent Academy?
No.
All right. Yeah. Perfect.
All right. Thanks so much.
Thank
for
you so
to
much,
us.
Lee.
My pleasure.
The link for tickets will be in the description of this episode. For any of you agents out there. All right. Thank you, Lee. Thank you, yeah. Sean. Thank you, Joey.
I realize people may have thought we were kidding when we introduced it. That was just Lee Steinberg. Thanks
yeah,
for,
that
thanks
was Lee
for
Steinberg.
Giving us the time, Lee Steinberg.
Jerry Maguire was based on Lee Steinberg. Now, more importantly, well, not more importantly, but of same importance, every year we have our friend, our Halloween nut, Your friend and mine,
the queen of spook
from the Basketball Feelings newsletter. We talked to our friend Katie Heindel to review the notable Halloween costumes in the NBA this year. Here's Sean and I with Katie Heindel. Subscribe to Basketball Feelings. Read Dime.
Yahoo Sports Canada.
Yahoo Sports Canada. All the good ones. Read. Oh, on Defector. Read our spooky Halloween story. All right. Here's us and Katie. All right. It's a yearly tradition. You know it. You love it. We've got everyone's favorite basketball spook from the Basketball Feelings newsletter, from Yahoo Sports Canada, from Vice Sports, which is dead. I don't know why I went with that one last. From Dime, most importantly, she wrote a cover story on Big Jim Wiseman. It's everybody's friend, my friend in particular. I'm more friends with her than you are, but she's also your friend, Katie Heindel.
I didn't realize it was a competition, but
it is now. Step it up, Sean.
No, I meant the listeners. She's also friends with Sean.
Yeah, that's true. Yeah. Step it up.
I was talking about the listeners. So she's more their parasocial friend, where she's more my social friend.
Oh, I understand what you're saying. Yeah. I thought you meant me.
No, I did not mean you specifically.
Oh, all right.
Well, I would never attack you directly on this podcast, Sean. Well, I do that behind your back on other podcasts.
Yeah, he was really mean to me on Serial somehow.
So, Sean, this is your favorite thing to do. Mm-hmm. Do you want to explain to the listeners what you're going to do here?
Yeah, I want to run down the different Halloween costumes that we have in the NBA. Mm-hmm. Now, normally, this is a Joker watch. Usually, there are a lot of Jokers in the NBA. Most notably, one year, Bradley Beal and John Wall both went as different Jokers.
No one ever goes as Cesar Romero Joker, though. The best
that
Joker
has not been seen in the NBA. Maybe they don't have the 60s Batman. I don't know.
Maybe they don't know how they don't. Maybe makeup's not strong enough to put it over a mustache anymore.
Right. Yeah. Then people are like, why would you? Is this a mistake? And they're like, it's authentic. Yeah. And so I just want to get through. And Katie's both a vacation watch expert and a feelings expert. Mm-hmm. And then basically we have, sorry. I just figured out what one of them was. We're just going to go through and I want Katie to, just weigh in on these fits basically. Yep. Is that all right?
The Halloween fits. That's what we're going to call costumes.
Halloween fits.
Halloween fit watch.
Yeah. Okay. So we're going to go through. And first, I just want to talk about one really important Halloween costume that kind of, I would just say this kind of turned the NBA on its Halloween axis a little bit.
Well, first off, can we have Katie rank these on some kind of scale? Like, the worst costume you've ever seen?
I hate all the Joker costumes.
I mean, in your life,
What? She should rank them based on Halloween candy.
I was going to say Klum Worm should be top 100, right? Like, it should be the best.
One,
yeah,
I think.
Exactly.
What is that?
The Klum Worm.
Did you see Heidi Klum as a worm, Sean?
Oh! I thought this was like a reference to a video game I had. No.
Heidi Klum went as a worm this year, and it's like maybe the greatest Halloween costume of all time.
I've seen the picture. I just didn't.
I didn't realize she lay down. She like lies down on the red carpet.
Your phrase "Klumworm" just confused me. I just knew
Katie would like the phrase "Klumworm." Honestly,
I mean, the criteria is like creative, gross, or like scary. Mm-hmm. I think effort has to be one too. I don't really like costumes that are too self-referential. Mm-hmm. I don't mind asking, like, "What are you?" But if it's like too long of an explanation, it doesn't have to be on site, but it can't just be like a secret.
Mm-hmm. Katie, what's the best Halloween costume you ever dressed as?
A ghost.
Ooh, was it a sheet?
It was a sheet ghost. It was a cool ghost with sunglasses and a hat on and a sheet. But when I was a kid, I dressed up as a die, like a dice. I was singular dice.
Oh, that's a good costume.
I won the costume contest at my elementary school, but I fell down the stairs at my elementary school because the box was so big.
Sean, what's your best Halloween costume? Sean likes to dress as puns.
I often do dress as puns. I mean, like in 1996, I had a very inappropriate Halloween costume because I didn't prepare anything. So I just went as Bob Dole and I just slicked my hair back and gripped a pen in one hand. Yeah. And some of my Republican friends were mad at me for that. So I cut them out of my life. What was the best costume I had? I think my legendary Fuzzy Wuzzy costume, Joey.
Do you want to explain flesh colored bodysuit?
Yeah. I had a flesh colored bodysuit and a bear hat on. And because Fuzzy Wuzzy was a bear, Fuzzy Wuzzy had no hair. Fuzzy Wuzzy wasn't very fuzzy, was he?
Yeah.
Just a lot of fun for everybody.
The reason I asked is because I think Katie's going to hate my costume, my best ever costume, because of how self-referential it is.
Okay.
So one year, I knew my friend was throwing a party, and she had these ridiculous headshots from when she was trying to be a child actress.
That was great.
One of them is her in like baseball mode with overalls and a sideways baseball hat and a baseball glove. And I went as that headshot.
That was pretty great. Uh-huh.
But I feel like that's fine because it's within the context of the party.
Yeah, fair enough.
You were like walking around. My friend as a child. Yeah, I guess it's kind of flattering.
So there was one year, Katie, when my sister, Jesus, and her boyfriend.
Whoa. Freud would have a field day with that, Joy.
Freud for Halloween.
So they made duck costumes, and I wore like a flight jumpsuit and like a pilot outfit. And I dyed my hair blonde and put on a blonde mustache, and we were Duck Duck Goose.
You know, goose from Top Gun.
The problem was that was for a party that was on Saturday, and Halloween was the next day. And so Joey and I then went out without the two ducks, and people were just like, "See, like Val Kilmer now when he." Let himself go?
First off, Sean.
Like a depressed fighter pilot?
First off, Anthony Edwards plays Goose to get this back to not Val. You said Val Kilmer. I just don't want people to be mad at you.
No, but I know that Anthony, it's because I look like Val Kilmer now. That's why that made sense. Anthony Edwards has not let himself go. He's just bald. But also, Joey was still dressed as Morgan Spurlock, the director of Super Size Me, and also was not willing to carry around McDonald's French fries and put them in his mouth again. So we just looked divorced.
Yeah.
We looked like two divorced dudes hanging out.
And yes, that's true. I did one time go for Halloween as Morgan Spurlock from the poster of the documentary Super Size Me. All right, we got to talk about NBA. Well, this is taking too long.
All right. Okay. So the first thing that happened, we turned Halloween on its cost NBA axis. Grant Williams defied Joker convention and went to a game dressed as Batman. Mm-hmm. It was pretty ridiculous. And we said this last week, Katie. Have you, you've watched the video?
Yeah, I have.
So he he kind of looks like in the movie The Dark Knight, there's a bunch of joke like Batman cosplayers who get in trouble and are threatened with the Joker. That's what he looks like. He doesn't look like Batman. He looks like someone dressed as Batman.
But everyone, I would argue, dressed as Batman just looks, you know, like nobody looks like Batman.
It's just weird Halloween. When an NBA player is wearing fake muscles. You know what I mean? It. Like it's so anyway, he like also Craig did Williams his...
has muscles.
So he also did his post-game press conference talking in a Batman voice. And then Jason Tatum overheard him and said, "What the fuck are you doing, bro?" So anyway, yeah, so that's his spirit. It's not he's not chaos. Some men don't want to watch the world burn. Some men, you know, want to lead. Shoot some threes, you know.
Plus what I like about this is he changed back into his costume after the game.
Yeah, I also like that. Yeah,
that's really good. Yeah.
He didn't just bring comfortable clothes to put on after he got photographed in the tunnel.
Did you know he tried to give himself the nickname Batman last year, Katie?
I didn't know that. Why?
He shut down Nikola Jokic. And he was like, "I shut down the Joker. Oh. You should call me Batman." And Jalen Brown's like, "That's not going to catch on. No one's going to do that."
That's pretty good. I don't know. I like it. I like how much everyone made fun of him in the locker room.
Yeah, it's great.
When I hand out candy at my parents' house, if a Batman, a child Batman comes to my door, I tell them they're not allowed to get any candy until they do the Batman voice. And then the kids will go, "Trick or treat!" I highly recommend it. Everyone should do it.
So my mom, I went to see my nephews at my parents' house. I was not in New York City yet. And my mom would hand people, before she handed people candy, she'd say, "I'm going to give you the good stuff." And then she would hand them a box of dots.
What are dots?
Dots are like, I think they might be from the Willy Wonka. No, they're from the Tootsie Roll family of candies. The mostly sold in large bags, already stale, is kind of their trademark.
Dots feel like
dots are like
they feel like depression candy.
What's the flavor though?
They're kind of like jujubes without as much flavor. Yeah, they're gummy drops. They feel their flavor is stale.
Yeah, okay.
Their flavor is like 1970. So these kids would get really confused when my mom said that, and I was like, why are you saying that? She goes, "Dots are the best." And then I made her describe her favorite candies, and it was quite a wild journey on things she thinks are good. Some of them included flavored Tootsie Rolls, miniature payday bars, and being yourself on Halloween.
Nothing's worse than getting a toothbrush. Tell you that much.
Actually, my sister Molly was handing out toothbrushes, so I was like, "This dog toothbrush combo, they're gonna burn down the house. It is Devil's Night."
Getting a can of pop kind of sucked too, because you had to haul it around all night. That
never happened to me.
It has happened to me.
God, that's so heavy.
That's weird.
It's very heavy.
I have had that happen before. Someone did give me a Coke once
when I was when I was a child. An old man gave me an unshelled walnut.
I feel like it was probably magic.
Did you make any wishes?
No, I threw it in the street like a good kid.
You should have cracked it. I bet there was a genie in there or a curse. Maybe you helped yourself.
Yeah, that's true. Could have been a monkey's paw wish, like the one Kevin Durant made when he came to the Brooklyn Nets.
We've talked about one Halloween costume. We gotta start burning through these.
Next up, we've got Russell Westbrook as, I guess, a Power Ranger. Do I not know what this costume is?
I think you don't know what this costume is.
Oh, is he a PJ Mask?
What's a PJ Mask? I don't know what that is. It's
a popular... Let me look. I think he's a PJ Mask. They're the
he's a PJ Masks.
He's Connor from PJ Masks. Yeah, okay. He's Catboy. Then this rules. I thought he like had missed on a costume. No, this is like this
Westbrook
is
never misses on costumes.
Yeah, he's really good. So his children are
Joker
a witch, a pumpkin, a jack-o'-lantern, and a skeleton. That is great that he is a beloved character from a show only children watch. Mm-hmm. PJ Masks, Catboy.
This is super cute.
Yeah. And I like that all his kids are classic Halloween characters.
Yeah. Yeah. Right. Yeah. Exactly. Mm-hmm. And this is clearly it rules. Good job, Russell Westbrook. But he only wears every Halloween costume just once.
Mm-hmm. However, do you think this was tailor made? Because I'm just thinking of the store bought sizes.
No, it's definitely custom made.
He had it.
There's
made.
No yeah. way that there's. Also, it's like
whoever makes clothes for Honor the Gift got a call 2 months ago to make this.
yeah, doesn't it look customized for his body?
If Honor the Gift started selling these, I'd buy one.
Okay, the next one. This I think might be the greatest Halloween costume this year, Joey.
Mm-hmm.
John Wall is dressed as Martin Lawrence, dressed as a pizza delivery man in the movie Blue Streak. So he's wearing a costume, which is somebody wearing a costume. Mm-hmm.
From a movie no one remembers.
A buddy cop film with Martin Lawrence and Owen Wilson. He has to pretend to be a pizza delivery man to infiltrate the police station where he hid a diamond in the foundation before he was sent to prison years earlier. Mm-hmm. So what a weird deep cut. And it's so committed. Like, it's a very accurate costume. Mm-hmm. Congratulations, John Wall. That really ruled.
Well, you're not the arbiter here, Katie.
Oh, yeah. Sorry.
What are you going to grade this one?
I love it because obviously you now know that that's probably one of his favorite movies.
Yeah, yeah.
I like costumes that give away those, like, weird... not weird, but just like your very deep and specific personal interests.
I believe that movie's from 1999 too. Mm-hmm. So this is like a long time favorite. Or he just discovered it like a week ago.
Either or, he loves it. Yeah. It's like, mm-hmm. I can't decide which would be better. If it was like a one he watched, it's like a comfort film of his, or like one he just recently watched and was like, that's it. That's my Halloween costume.
He's telling Zubach, like, you gotta get this one.
What do you think he stuffed his body with?
Do you think it's like a standard costume shop like fat suit?
It looks, because it looks hard. You know what I mean? it doesn't look
listeners, he
lumpy.
Has a pot belly. We're talking about the fake pot belly.
A fat suit and a fake pot belly.
Yeah. It just doesn't look, it looks so uniform. You know what I mean? It does almost look like he's wearing like a fat suit underneath or like a belly.
It could be like
prosthetic
a...
prosthetic belly.
Is it like a pregnancy belly, do
maybe.
You think?
I bet that's what it is, actually, looking at it.
Mm-hmm.
It's like one they make high school girls wear to promote abstinence.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Okay. It could be the empathy belly for men.
And where do you think, I wish I knew where the pizzas went. Or do you think there are empty boxes?
Do you think there's pizzas in those boxes?
Yeah, that's what I wonder.
I think there are. I think he's that committed that he's actually carrying pizzas into the arena.
Left them for the staff or something.
Oh yeah, I bet that's what happened. Yeah.
Mm-hmm. I like this costume. I don't think I've watched that movie all the way through. I've just seen the beginning.
You've just seen it gets wackier, Katie, because he pretends to be a cop.
All right, let's keep going.
Okay, Eric Spolster went as Master Splinter, and then his whole family went as Ninja Turtles. I'm not sure what his dog is supposed to be. His dog is also in an outfit.
Splinter colors, but I don't.
Yeah, Splinter it is colors, Splinter colors. Yeah. It's almost as if the dog is Splinter, too.
It seems like this mask would be very uncomfortable. It seems like a very realistic...
It seems
nicely made rat. mask.
What's funny about this is his wife and his kids are in pretty simple costumes, and then Eric Spoelstra is in like a much more detailed costume than these Ninja Turtle costumes.
Yeah,
like these are standard store-bought Ninja Turtle costumes.
Yeah, they have like a little string on the back, and they don't particularly fit. And his wife is kind of wearing like
the sexy version of one
of the Donatello, mask. And then he has fake rat hands.
The hands are what's throwing me here. Like, it would be one thing if he was just wearing a rat mask and a hooded gi.
Yeah.
But he's got rat hands and a stick.
Well, also,
and it appears there's makeup on his neck. Like, he had to sit for quite a while here in the makeup chair, I feel like.
Meanwhile, like everything else could have been from the Spirit Halloween store.
Yeah.
But also, everybody else looks pretty cartoony.
Uh-huh.
And you know, like looks, real flat faces. Yeah. He looks like a real rat head.
Yeah.
Like a real giant rat.
It's really good. it's really good. I like the, because I first couldn't tell if it was gloves or something that he had on like over his hands, because the one that's around the cane
stick looks weird
like it, but then you see the one that's kind of gently on his hip, like resting on his hip, and how long the fingers are. I mean, it could just be like werewolf hands, but they seem so color specific to the mask. It's really good.
Do you think there's anyone on the Heat that he talks about the Ninja Turtles with?
No, I think this is like a child directed costume.
Oh, okay. Oh, you're right. You're right.
See, yeah. I think this is a wife directed costume, but
why?
Because I think that because there's it's so specific that there's four of them and one of him.
Mm-hmm.
You know what I mean? Seems very
well, it's harder to be a sexy rat, I guess, than a sexy Donatello.
Yeah.
I will say his youngest child, his middle child does look like a party dude. So it's appropriate that's Michelangelo.
Those masks are pretty. The children's masks are pretty creepy.
Yeah.
Equally creepy. But they look like the kind.
Ways.
Yeah. They look like the kind that just go. Can you see their hair?
Just the front. Yeah, you can. Yeah. It's just the front half of their face.
And Spose is like, you can't breathe. I'm like, this is in my head. He can't breathe. Right. Thing. You know, that's a thick latex. And it does look affixed to his neck.
Mm-hmm.
It's intense. It's great.
Amazing. And just putting a dog in a costume for no reason. Got to support that. Joey did Corn Pop have a costume this year?
Yeah, Corn Pop went as a hot dog.
Yeah, it's pretty good. Classic. Yeah.
And Ivy went as a beer. They were a combo.
It's pretty good. And you went. You did not dress up.
I did not dress up.
Okay.
I'm
Katie, do you dress up for Halloween?
I didn't.
That's fair. You're grown up.
You did. What did you? What were you? We're back.
So my girlfriend was an actual bear, and I went as the lead from FX's The Bear. Mm-hmm.
Did you see any other bear men out? Seemed like a popular choice this year.
It seemed like it should have been. And then she wasn't there on Halloween, so I just wore both costumes at once.
I like that better.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. I probably would have done. I would have done that if I were on my own. That would have been my costume. And I would have had like the tattooed arms, but a bear head. And I just think acting like you're a depressed, wet beef chef is just funny in general, but especially when you're an animal. Okay. Let's keep going. Yeah. Trae Young went to the game as Black Panther.
I hate this because Victor Oladipo very famously put on a Black Panther mask when he was in the dunk contest.
Mm-hmm.
The other thing is he kind of seems like he is just wearing athleisure. You know what I mean? Like I know that
he's wearing insane hand gauntlets that I hate.
Yeah.
Insane hand gauntlets and a mask, but then his regular outfit is like a long sleeve
Lululemon
turtleneck. Yeah, like Lululemon. Yeah.
I think it's really funny that he's carrying a water bottle.
Yeah.
plastic water bottle.
And his phone has AirPods in his hand too.
Yeah.
I have a theory behind this.
Okay.
I think he's wearing intense jewelry, and I think he picked the costume because of the jewelry. I think he was like, I just bought this jewelry. What can I make my Halloween costume that I can wear this jewelry?
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Yeah, I can see that. Because it really just looks like the shirt and pants were an afterthought.
I think he probably already had those. It's like a mock. So he's got like a mock neck on. Yeah. I don't think that's part of the costume.
No, no way.
It's pretty bad. Like it's, I don't know. I feel like someone went and got this for him.
Yeah, absolutely. You
know? Mm-hmm. And there's the sequel's coming out soon. So you guys excited about that?
No. All right, keep going, Sean. Either.
Okay. This was that Joey.
Do better, Treya.
Joey, do you think I enjoyed JaVale McGee's costume here?
Yes, of course. You guys, I'm sure, went nuts for this. Both of you. Both of you freaks.
Yeah.
Fantasy creeps went crazy. JaVale
McGee in a Gandalf costume, which is great because Gandalf's supposed to be very tall and mm-hmm. they do some camera tricks for it. JaVale doesn't need camera tricks. JaVale's wife appears to be dressed as Arwen or just an elf princess. I don't know what franchise, but I'm going to say she's Arwen, Undomiel. And then one child is dressed as a hobbit. I'm going to even just say Frodo there. And then his other child is really going for it as Gollum.
Mm-hmm.
Big fake feet, mm-hmm. crazy ears, fangs, and like a real commitment to the character.
And like a bald cap.
Yeah, like a bald cap on a child.
With the weird wispy hair.
Uh-huh. It's really good. It's very good. And JaVale also made a joke about how he has a bunch of rings. So I like that he's rubbing it in everyone's face, too. JaVale, always a Halloween star. He usually goes pretty hard. But, I mean, he's a very good Gandalf, but this Gollum.
Gollum's the winner here, for sure.
I am obsessed. The Gollum is the winner. It's such a funny costume for a child.
Well, it's everything. It's like it's funny. It's gross. It's like the commitment is incredible. And I bet that she went around like that.
Oh, yeah.
All night.
Hours.
Yeah. Doing voices. The scary voice. Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. Yeah.
I love it. I love it. Guys, I did not play the Hobbit trilogy slot machine when I was in Vegas. I just didn't. I didn't see it. I had such a good time last time. I didn't want to ruin it. But I did win money on something called the Triple Double Patriot because my girlfriend likes playing really boring low IP machines that have the arm attached. She also maybe anyway. Well, we're not going to get into that right now. Bradley Beal and his family. He has moved on from being a Joker. Mm-hmm. He and his family went as the Flintstones.
Pretty cute.
I don't know what to say about this.
Why did they have to go to? I guess maybe they had like all the families.
Yeah, it's weird. I couldn't find a still picture of
this. They had a game, right?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, because like they definitely had a game because
I kind of like JaVale's better because it's like, I mean, maybe even if he wasn't playing, I like it better knowing the kids can like, you know, they're out trick or treating. Mm-hmm. But I'm sure they got plenty of candy at the game.
It's weird to make your kids go to your work on Halloween night. Instead of trick-or-treating.
That is kind of a bummer. But I mean, would you rather hang out with your dad on? I would have rather gone trick-or-treating. I already answered the question for myself.
I would have much.
Do you want to hang out with your dad, or
as much as I like
get that old man out of here, candy to get.
I like the costumes a lot. They're very cute. But then I'm kind of like, obviously the wizards asked him to do it. Because no one else is dressed up.
Yeah. Yeah.
Like when he has to hug all his teammates and they're shocked and like look legitimately happy to see him and his family dressed up. Like when he hugs Kyle Kuzma and Kyle Kuzma's kind of like, oh, that's like a tight look a little
bit. Kyle Kuzma somehow is wearing a less costumey outfit than normal on Halloween night.
So it doesn't.
Anyway, it's
weird
good,
to be
right?
like it takes points away from the family, but I don't know. It's staged, you know. It's staged.
Yeah, it is staged. I do feel like I'm glad he's not a Joker anymore. That's my main takeaway.
Of course.
Okay, Damian Lillard and his family. Dame went as Woody from Toy Story. Two of his children went as the dog. Oh, they're a joint costume.
The Slinky.
Sorry.
They're the slinky dog.
They're both ends of the Slinky. Yeah. I didn't realize that. And then one child is Buzz Lightyear. And then
Jesse. What is his wife is Jesse.
Jesse. Sorry, I didn't remember what her name was. Jesse. Woody's life partner.
I worry about those two children being tied together all night. I'm going to be honest.
I mean, I kind of, you got to keep them together somehow.
I love it as a costume, but still, what if they both run in opposite directions? What happens, you know?
It's
What's
hilarious.
This thing made of? Yeah. I feel like it would get,
I feel like it would get twisted more likely. I mean, it already looks like it's twisted
feels
up
too
like
long
a real slinky.
And both too long and too short.
Right.
What about
like
the
that,
Buzz Lightyear, though?
Love the Buzz Lightyear.
Yeah.
But I mean, I hope that pops up.
It doesn't have a back, if you look at it. Of course it pops up.
Okay, good.
Because if you look, the purple hood is outside of the plastic dome. Like, it's
what if, what if he kept the dome on because he wanted to make sure his kid had that dog in him? You know, could, like, deal with the pressure. Okay, maybe not. we're going to move on to the Utah Jazz.
No, wait, I want to first I was looking at the boots.
I was
going to
ask about the boots.
If they're like fake, you know, they look very thick at the top.
Oh, yeah.
I was like, are these fake cowboy boots? Also, I love that the jeans are definitely just like Dame's fashion jeans. Mm-hmm, like they're just,
no, I think, are they supposed to match? I guess Woody's jeans aren't ripped.
Woody just has plain jeans. He doesn't have like Ed Hardy style rivets and rips on them. No.
Okay. Fair enough.
If the boots are real, I'd like to see Dame wear them.
No, again. No, Woody does have a patch on his right leg.
Not like this though.
I'm just saying it is in the correct place.
Okay. But Sean, there's also rips on the right leg too.
Yeah. There's rips and like extra stitching.
Are there rips on both legs?
Yes.
Okay.
Mm-hmm. Stop! Wow, Sean Keane becoming the Dame defender.
I'm just saying one on the
Damian
right
Lillard
leg.
Never has play defense.
just the right leg does have a patch on it. That's all I'm saying.
I can't.
Yeah, they're
the foam
boring.
Boots
You're
are
right.
Throwing me. I can't decide.
Are they foam?
If they look like
they
foam
do or... look like they're foam. I don't know if they're supposed to look like
they're not
toy
supposed
boots?
To be that thick. Like the tops are
they're
so
very
thick.
Weird. They're weird boots. I'll tell you that much.
Anyway, great costume. Cute family.
All right.
Okay. Then we've got the Utah Jazz. Jared Vanderbilt and Talen Horton Tucker had a couple's costume.
I love this.
And then.
Are you going to explain what it is?
Yes. Well, do you want me to keep talking?
Oh, yeah.
Okay.
Sorry.
They went as Smokey and Craig from Friday, or as the SB Nation Halloween Roundup called them, characters from last Friday, which is incorrect and a crazy choice to go with the threequel. That's not supposed to be Mike Epps, by the way. The funny thing is that some people didn't realize they were in costume because
They're wearing normal clothes. Yeah,
they are wearing normal clothes. But also, when are NBA players like walking side by side? simple costume.
I want more couples costumes.
Yeah,
like
group
this.
Costumes of teammates is amazing. Keep it up. Also, love it because. They clearly, they didn't, it's not like they had to, you know, they just had this stuff too.
And yeah, these are just their clothes.
Yeah.
Well, I also like that Talen Horton Tucker, despite still being like 21 years old, you're like, yeah, this kind of seems like an early 30s Ice Cube right now. It's like the right vibe. Also, it's funny that I forget how old that movie is. It was also described as being two characters from a popular meme on the internet.
Oh, man.
Malik Beasley dressed as Superman, and his son or daughter, I'm not sure. I think probably son, Spider-Man. Mm-hmm. And we're wondering, Joey, did he have a note that explained to him how to fly and use his X-ray vision?
That's like funny.
For the bong. Yeah.
Okay. Here's what I like. He didn't have to wear these boots over the pants. Like, he's wearing red shoes. He could have just gotten rid of that part, but he kept it. For the listeners, he's wearing like the felt costume boots over his red shoes.
Yeah,
and but they don't.
Are normal sneakers.
He's too tall for the costume and the boots, so they're like on his shins.
And then there's like the stretchy stirrup around his shoe.
And it's really stretching hard because, again, he's too tall. Really funny. Kid looks great as Spider-Man. Honestly, he looks great as Superman.
He really does.
Yeah.
You know what? You know when I was complaining about NBA players with fake muscles?
Mm-hmm.
Withdrawn for this one. He looks great. It might just be that Grant Williams' vibe is a little bit schlubby. And it's not the costume. I guess there's no real way to say schlubby in a positive way. But
I think what I'm noticing is like the cape, how the cape is fluttering.
Yeah.
Or like looks like it. So I'm like, did he get a running start? Did he do a couple quick steps to get it to go out for the photo? I feel like he really committed.
It's a great photo. He really looks Superman-y here.
Yeah. He does. He looks extremely happy. I also love that his kid's mask is slightly askew.
Yeah.
Good stuff. Great. Okay, Jordan Clarkson, two costumes this year.
Oh my gosh.
First of all, he went to the arena as Jack Skellington.
Mm.
Creepy.
I mean, it's a good costume in that it's expensive and detailed, and
it's like a costume he bought. You know what I mean?
But feels the weirdest about it is the gloves.
The gloves
feel like
wrong.
An afterthought.
Yeah.
Like they're just like some Hot Topic gloves or something.
Yeah. Yeah, like that could be with the skeleton t-shirt.
Yeah.
You're really scrimping.
Feel like get some skeleton hands.
Talk to Spolstra.
Yeah, talk
That's
to
what
Spol.
I'm saying.
Yeah.
And then he had a second costume where he went as Edward Scissorhands.
Wow, he went double Burton, huh?
Double Burton.
Like he went for the hands here. I guess you can't skimp out on the hands.
This Edward Scissorhands costume is crazy.
It is crazy.
It's very elaborate. And next year, who do you think he's going to go as? The old man from Big Fish, Joey? Paul Giamatti from Planet of the Apes, maybe?
That would actually be sick.
What if he went as Ed Wood? He just has like a little mustache.
The thing about the Edward Scissorhands ones is if they went somewhere or if it was just a costume for a photo shoot. I mean, I can't be upset at it. It's a really good couples costume.
Yeah.
But I hope they went somewhere.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Okay. And then finally, to wrap up the Jazz, Colin Sexton. I don't know if this is supposed to be a specific clown, Joey. It's a scary clown. It's definitely Joker adjacent, but I think it's just scary clown. He's holding like a stick that
has a saw blade in it, which to me thinks maybe this is a specific clown that I don't know who he is.
Yeah.
Because the weapon is so specific.
And he has kind of a Harlequin outfit where part of it's like black and looks blood splattered. And then the other quadrants are basically NBA ref, but with pants. I mean, I guess they wear pants, but striped pants.
Why is the mask so big?
I think maybe because he's little and he just went to a store for grownups.
But he's not that little. Like, his head's not that small.
Yeah, I guess that's true.
It's a gigantic mask.
Well, and I'm shorter than Colin Sexton, and I have an enormous head, so I guess that's not.
But I mean, it's really like big. But it freaks me out.
Yeah, it's more troubling than some of the other ones because you can't place it. Mm-hmm. You're almost like, this could just be like what Colin Sexton thinks is a good idea. Pascal Siakam, he hosted the Raptors Halloween party and he went as 50 Cent, or as he was calling himself, 43 Cent.
This is sick.
This is a really good 50 Cent costume. Not something I would have ever thought. Well, I mean, obviously I would not go as 50 Cent. I don't want to get canceled, but I've never seen anyone go as 50 Cent.
Yeah. Well, it involves buying a bulletproof vest, right?
Yeah, I guess that's true. Haven't had that much need for Kevlar in my life until I started getting all these hot takes off. Masai Ujiri also went as Prince Akeem from Coming to America.
I liked Pascal's because it made me feel like he loves that album, and I do.
For sure.
I wish the Raptors had released a photo album and not a reel of this party, however.
Well, I did hear about this party from some people at the game on Monday, and the costumes were kind of like, Scotty went as a construction worker, but he was just wearing
a vest.
I was talking with a photographer about it, and he was like, yeah, he just looked like that, and then pointed to one of the Lil Ballas, which is like the child Raptors dance crew, who was wearing a Ghostbusters costume. So I was like, oh, so he was just wearing
like a store-bought
coveralls. So I said, did he have like a helmet? He said, no, just like the coveralls.
It's a very comfortable Halloween choice.
It is, you know, and I respect that. Masai looked great. Who else? Someone was like, someone was just like scary, like
like Jordan Clarkson.
Yeah, someone or had not like
Jordan
a
Clarkson,
Colin Sexton.
Colin Sexton, yeah.
And Wancho was, Wancho and his GF were Neo and Harmony from The Matrix.
That's good.
That's cool.
Love Wancho. Wancho is always gonna do it right.
Wancho should have just gone as himself.
Bo Cruz.
Yeah.
Yeah. Like, this is the Bo Cruz Halloween challenge. I'm going to slap this candy out of your hand. Okay.
I'll tell you first, though, Raptors fans love having a celeb on the team. I've never heard such loud applause for a guy who's played like 4 minutes total.
Well, Toronto is the Hollywood of Canada. So it makes sense.
Hollywood North, Sean. It's true.
Yeah. Maybe Vancouver. They shot the X-Files there. Okay. Montrezl Harrell.
I was trying to figure out what this costume was. And looking at these comments, and multiple people are like, hey, he went as steampunk.
Yeah, he's kind of like steampunk. So last year he went as Jason. Montrez always goes as monsters, basically. But this, he kind of looks like steampunk Jason.
Yeah, because the mask has spikes in it, right?
Yeah.
And he's wearing the goggles.
But then he's got the steampunk goggles, but then this, like, suit. It might just be, yeah, I feel like it's steampunk. Like, it's, like, scary steampunk.
Yeah, it's like, another scary guy costume. I mean, it's cool. It's very memorable, but I'm also kind of like, so what are you supposed to be?
You know what I like more, though? The outfit he has on. So I could actually, like, the mask just takes it away. Away for me.
Like, you just like it, the fit.
Yeah, and if he just wore the fit with the goggles, it's a good fit.
Yeah. Yeah, I think that's right. Yeah. The mask is actually more confusing than the goggles, because otherwise you'd be like, yeah, steampunk guy, or yeah.
I'm so not a super fan of that one.
Okay. So click on that Dwayne Dedman link for costume.
It's the same link as Montrez.
You're
as Montrez. Oh, yeah, oh yeah. That's the wrong link. Okay, hold on. Hold on.
I thought we were getting tricked.
Oh,
instead of treated.
I wasn't actually punking you. Sorry. There we go. Okay, try that one. No,
this one just goes to an Instagram login.
Hold on.
Skip below. Do we have? Why don't we just go to the, move on to the Sacramento Kings?
All right, we'll move on to the Sacramento.
Sorry,
Kings.
Dwayne Dedman. You're not getting rated.
Not working.
I love every single one of these Sacramento Kings costumes.
Me too.
This is the
Deli's a boxer.
Yeah, Deli's a boxer. There's a disco guy. We have the money heist guy. Keegan Murray's it.
No, he is it.
Kevin
Herter. Like the boy?
He's the victim. He's the boy who gets murdered at the beginning of
Georgie.
It. Yeah, Georgie. Kevin Herter is wearing a store-bought alien abduction costume.
Very funny.
And De'Aaron Fox is a taco.
Yeah.
Oh, man, that's such a funny costume. I like a lot of these costumes, like Deli, great. Keegan Murray, great. Something is so hilarious about an NBA player wearing a taco costume.
Uh-huh. Yep. All of these are winners.
Just the 70s one, just like being from the 70s. Yeah. It's pretty good.
All right, guys, try that Deadman link one more time.
The Kings for me are your Halloween winners. This party looks kind of shitty in a way that I
it
like.
It also happened so early. Yeah. It happened like a week before Halloween.
Yeah, this is it's really asking.
Like, were they on the road or something? Like, is that why? So they were like, get a costume and like come a week before Halloween.
Yeah, this is October 26th. It appears to be in like, I mean, they're posing in like a hallway.
It could be. I feel like it's someone's house and it's like a out to the patio or something.
Oh, yeah. That's exactly what it is. Yes.
But they all look so happy.
Yeah, they're like really into it. And Keegan Murray is trying to stay in character, but he can't hide a smile. He's trying to be serious, but the pure joy of Matthew Dellavedova probably playfully punching him in the back during this picture, right? We can't say, oh no, his arm's over his shoulder. I'm sorry. Mm-hmm. Oh, it's what a delight.
Kevin Herter's costume.
It's so funny. And yeah, he's putting his arms up as if we didn't get the fake legs. He's like, whoa!
He's scared. He's getting abducted.
Yeah.
He's scared. He's really scared. Oh, what a great team.
All right. I got your Dwayne Dedman family, Sean.
Okay. Yeah. I guess he's Boba Fett or just a regular bounty hunter. I have not watched The Mandalorian, Joey.
It's good. Obviously, so his like, but I mean,
no,
his
he's
wife
the Mandalorian dad. Yeah. Dad. He's a Mandalorian dad because he's holding a baby Yoda, dude.
Yeah.
Okay. Sure. I haven't seen the show. Isn't that what Boba Fett looks like, though? Is Boba Fett also a Mandalorian?
Yes.
Yes.
Okay. Okay. Great. Sounds good to me. and then his kid's like a stormtrooper.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, I like it.
And his wife is that one Star Wars lady with the the pigtail thing. Not like the alien knee pigtail thing. Good costume. Fun costume. I like that his kid won't wear the stormtrooper mask because I wouldn't want to either.
Yeah, I like that he's holding it up. He looks he's fed up.
He's like, nope.
Anytime I wore a mask, sucked as a kid. Hate it. Yeah. I don't like it as an adult, actually, either.
Nope. Yeah, that's why you wouldn't get the shot. Okay. The Atlanta Hawks did have a Joker. It wasn't a great Joker.
No.
Onyeka Okongwu wearing like a comic book Joker mask, basically.
I mean, I like that we've never seen a comic book Joker before.
Yeah. This was like a costume that was acquired back.
Oh, this was in Toronto?
I don't like that he's wearing just a hoodie. Like, what? You just bought a mask?
Yeah, I'm telling you, he sent someone out to a Halloween store.
I did see Bogdan wearing that sweater. That's
what I wanted to talk about was Bogdan's sweater.
Small. He's not that tall.
Mm-hmm.
His sweater's cool. Spooky, but he kind of cancels it with his thumbs up.
Yeah, he looks so sweet while wearing such a spooky cable knit sweater with like a demon on it.
It looks it's like embroidered. It's like knitted into a skeleton knitted into his cable knit.
Mm-hmm.
And he has like on kind of shoes are matching. And then he has just like his very earnest smile. Yeah.
He's just like, hi, I'm Bogdan.
Thumbs up. I can tell you that if I saw this mask in the tunnel that night, I would have actually been afraid. I'm kind of upset I didn't realize when we did Trey Young that this was in Toronto, and I'm kind of upset I didn't see him walk in like this and see how, like, I bet his body language was kind of awkward.
How do you feel about the Atlanta Hawks having Michelob Ultra sponsor their Halloween Instagram post, and it's called Ultra Drip presented by Michelob Ultra?
Yeah. I think it's their standard tongue. Yeah, it's their like fit
promo. But I still wish it was like Halloween. I wish they had actually gone a little harder for the Halloween specific Ultra Drip tunnel walk and made the Ultra Drip like blood instead of what is it? Honey?
It's beer, right?
Oh. Never seen beer do that.
I don't know. It could be.
It does look like, no, it's beer. It's beer. I mean, they got to step their Halloween fits up, their Halloween drip.
All right, Sean, who's next? Sean has a crying baby in the background, so he might be muting.
We'll finish up. Okay, the final one. I did not know what this costume was. I had to look it up. Reggie Jackson went as fictional superhero Powerline from the Goofy movie.
He's not a superhero. Well, he might be a superhero. Movie. But yes, he's Powerline is a pop star from the Goofy movie. Yes, but it's fine. I wish he went more goofy with it, because Powerline also has, like, he's a goofy, you know?
I mean, yeah, whatever.
Like, he's got to have, like, goofy ears. Like, he's like a goofy dog. This is just costume with sunglasses.
The top.
Yeah,
but he looks really happy about it.
He does look very happy. Yeah, he's very proud of his costume.
He's definitely missing some ears, though.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Because it also looks like he's stuffed his fingers, maybe. His hands look very bulky,
mm-hmm. like
thick.
Mm-hmm. I think those gloves might just not fit that well.
But I mean, he's got goofy hands.
Yes, yeah. He's got goofy hands for sure. So but no goofy face.
And that's it. That's all I wanted to. Those are all the Halloween fits I needed Katie to rate.
You got Freddy Krueger. We forgot Freddy Krueger.
Oh, yeah. The Charlotte Hornets. That's not
a fit, but yes.
That's not really a fit. Yeah. The Charlotte Hornets had someone dress as Freddy Krueger to scare people.
That's not a robot.
I don't know. I didn't
want it's a mannequin.
It's a mannequin. Oh, no. Oh, it moves. Yeah. That moves. Okay. Yeah.
Okay. I just saw people getting scared, and I was like, I get this idea now.
I like this. I love when people get
primed me too.
And spooked.
Yeah. you're ready for just for laughs.
True.
Pranks
in my blood.
Pranks and parties and pranks. What's that show called?
Just for laughs. Gags, parties and pranks. it's good. I wish more people got spooked.
Yeah, a lot of these people aren't getting spooked at all.
You know, that would kind of even things up if there's a little
when
more.
When Kelly Oubre says, chill out,
yeah,
Freddy,
that's the one I just saw. Yeah,
I like that.
I like that Dennis Smith Jr. is wearing a Nelson Mandela all over print hoodie.
that's scary to the white supremacists of South Africa.
I just realized why they didn't have this as a person, because they probably didn't want someone to accidentally get punched.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Oh yeah, that's a really good point.
Kind of smart.
All right.
These are pretty good. I say not a lot of busts.
No.
Good Halloween. Although low on volume this year, I feel like, because yes. Halloween was on a Monday.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
And you got people just like, a lot of people were traveling on that Saturday, you know?
Yeah.
It's not as much of a fit fest.
Nobody wanted to pack a costume.
Yeah.
Nobody. They didn't know. Yeah.
Yeah. Michelob Ultra's Ultra Drip was a little low this year. But the people that did dress up, good costumes.
Mm-hmm.
I think that's it. Katie, is there anything you'd like to plug?
You already did, but yeah, I wrote a cover story on James Wiseman. That's a dime. And I wrote a spooky story about the Oklahoma City Thunder and a giant lizard obsessed with eggs.
Oh, is my friend in it?
Who's your friend?
This is Josh Giddey.
Yeah, he's the main character.
Oh, good.
And yeah,
who do you think he went as for Halloween?
I hope he went as Crocodile Dundee. That would actually have been good.
I hope he went as Andrew Bogut. All right. Thanks so much, Katie. I'm sure we'll have you back soon. You're on this podcast the most.
Yeah.
Because we love you. Okay. Sean, that's our episode.
Hell yeah, it is.
Is there anything you need to plug? Like maybe an interview with...
Oh, yeah.
Lee Steinberg.
Yeah, you can read all my basketball coverage on Yard Barker. Luckily, a few people stepped up and took Kyrie Irving articles, so I only had to write 5 last week.
Okay.
There's going to be an interview with Mr. Steinberg. Check me out on Golden State of Mind, and on Wednesday the 9th, I'm going to be at headlining at the Verdi Club in San Francisco.
Love the Verdi Club.
November 9th. It's a great club.
And then as for me, it was a football episode, so read this one. As for me, you can always follow me on Twitter at Frankie Muniz until I leave because of Elon. Let's be honest. My politics went from the Muniz account. I'm staying on Twitter for as long as that's going to happen. At Frankie Muniz, we're on 626. I tweeted... 6/26/2014, I tweeted, had a good run playing b-ball at Kurt Warner's house last night. The broken rib I suffered is totally worth it. No big breaths for me.
Oh, boy. Oh, boy.
Sean, did you write a song?
You know, I have an old one I want to play. It's a Pat Benatar song about James Dolan, and it's called Quarantine the Straight Shot.
It's great. Trust the process. And shut it down. The best time to make an apology is at 11:30 p.m. after you've been suspended, and to do it on Instagram.
Well, you're an all-white blues band with a discography of apologetic songs about Weinstein. Now James Dolan's not feeling great. The band members should self-isolate. Quarantine the straight shot. They've been infected by a despot. Quarantine the straight shot. Lock them away. He's coughing and harassing, that stuff ain't legal. The CDC should test the Eagles. Spike Lee was smart to stay away. I bet they'll sing about Louis C.K. Quarantine the straight shot. James Dolan's dirtier than a rest stop. Quarantine the straight shot. Do it today. Ladies and gentlemen, on the guitar, former general manager Steve Mills. Mm-hmm. He's a hands-on owner with a bad history, but his songs are worse than trading for a Bugnani. Jimmy can't sing the blues if he's short of breath. It's the one silver lining in this mass death. Quarantine the straight shot. Charles Oakley's digging him a grave plot. Quarantine the straight shot. At least until May. Quarantine the straight shot. They've been infected with the despot. Quarantine the straight shot. Lock them away. Hey, hey.
Planning for your next trip?
Elevate your travel style with Quince.
Quince has all the jet-setting essentials you'll want for your next getaway, like European linen, premium luggage options, buttery soft Italian leather bags, and so much more. And it's all priced at 50 to 80% less than similar brands. Plus, Quince only works with factories that use safe and ethical manufacturing practices. Pack your bags with high-quality essentials you'll be wearing for vacations to come with Quince. Go to quince.com/pack for free shipping and 365-day returns.
Ever catch yourself eating the same flavorless dinner 3 days in a row? Dreaming of something better? Well, HelloFresh is your guilt-free dream come true, baby. It's me, Keke Palmer. Let's wake up those taste buds with hot, juicy pecan-crusted chicken or garlic butter shrimp scampi. Mm. Hello Fresh. Stop dreaming of all the delicious possibilities and dig in at HelloFresh.com. Let's get this dinner party started.
Hi, this is Craig Robinson from Ways to Win, and support for this podcast comes from Invesco QQQ. Invesco QQQ is proud to sponsor this episode and even prouder to provide access to innovation for the last 25 years. Basketball has had innovations over the years, too. We're seeing the game played in new ways every day. Learn more at Invesco.com/QQQ. Let's rethink possibility. Invesco Distributors, Inc.